Messi Anko, Ricky Mayer Lee en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the trio Fabi singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Messi & Co. I am Ashley here, as always, with today, my single co-host, Gian. Gian, how are we feeling? Well, not actually single, you're married, but you know what I meant.
Yeah, don't get it twisted, ladies. Hands off, hands off. No, I'm doing good, I'm doing good. Excited to talk about Inter Miami, and I think a lot of interesting things to talk about. About the offense, about last game, but as far as that, everything is good today. What's today? We're at Tuesday is the new Thursday. I'm just making that up now that we don't have Matt with us, and his famous Monday is the new Friday, but all is good. How you been? We missed you last episode.
I know. Yeah. You guys held it down, even though it got banned. But
that's true. Hey, the banned episode. If you're into kicks, the banned Jordans, we kind of went off of that. But yeah, it was funny. Matt and I were going through the game, watching highlights of the game, and then just kind of talking through it. And all of a sudden, we start getting messages like, "What happened to you guys?" And we actually had somebody infiltrate us from LA and shut us down. I think it was. I don't know that really happened. I'm just assuming. But we got shut down, and then we jumped right back up. And we've got both episodes up. You guys need to watch. It's really fun. It was a good time. We missed you, Ash. We definitely missed you. But even though Matt's not here, glad to have you back and ready to roll.
Awesome. Yeah, I watched, and it was great. Obviously, I haven't been on since that Champions Cup game last Wednesday. It was, I will just quickly say before we get on to the other subjects, one of the most fun sporting events I've been to in, you know, my life. I'd say top 5 or 10. I mean, we were obviously in the press box, and in early they took the lead, and we were like, oh god, I can't, like, this is hugely disappointing for Inter Miami. But then slowly but surely our hopes started to get higher and higher, and then, you know, crescendo, we score and we win, and it was just the press box was going crazy, everyone was going crazy. It was really fun. And we're in the semifinals, so super excited about that. But yeah, you guys definitely held down the fort. And we have more Inter Miami to talk about. So you ready?
Ready. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. So the news since everyone last spoke, Inter Miami remains unbeaten after a 0-0 draw in Chicago, where you saw a packed Soldier Field, 62,000 plus fans there to watch Messi. They did, the last two times that Inter Miami went there, Messi didn't play and wasn't available. This time he was, and Chicago showed out. So a couple of different things to take away from here, but I think I want to start with, you know, we focus a lot, obviously, on the play, on the game, and we're comfortable and we're used to it because we're spoiled and we have Messi and all of these players on our team. But I got to say, you know, seeing 62,000 fans showing up in an away city and just the energy of that match, even though there was no goals, the intensity was there, and it shows what sometimes people forget, which is that Messi being in MLS and what he's doing for soccer in this country and you know, bringing this league and the club onto a world stage is just awesome, and he's creating so much great moments and excitement across the country. I mean, you know, obviously the LAFC game last week, it was full as well. But yeah, that it looked pretty cool on Sunday. So I think it still deserves a shout out that he's bringing that.
Anywhere he goes, the fans follow. In a sea of red, there was also a nice sized lake of pink. Yep. And it's just everywhere he goes, he brings out the fans. He brings out people that maybe have never even gone to a Chicago Fire game and are simply going for to watch him. And I think there's probably a lot of Chicago Fire fans that probably had that pink jersey underneath hidden, because there's a lot of Messi fans all over the world. And it's good that as he goes to these different stadiums, people that have never had the chance to see him are getting to see him. As you said, he hadn't made his way to Soldier Field. He finally made it this time. He also went to Jamaica for the first time. This is a season and last season of many firsts for people, and probably the one and only opportunity they'll ever get to see him. You and I and a lot of us here in Miami and South Florida are really lucky. As you said, we get to see him all the time. We see him basically almost every weekend, sometimes twice a week we see him. And I think it was a really special moment for the fans in Chicago, one that they'll probably never forget if they were there. And it's always a great atmosphere, regardless of what's going on the field. You know, obviously, we'll talk about this game, nil-nil draw. Just seeing the ball at his feet, seeing the plays that he makes, the passes he makes. He didn't score, but the almost
– things off the bar, right?
Board were spectacular. Yeah. The passes that he made were spectacular. And you just don't get to see that. And there aren't many more years left in his career. So I think that cherish every moment that you get to see Messi on the pitch. And it was a special game. Any game with him is a special game.
Agreed. Totally agree. Yeah, and there was almost a couple bangers. Almost. Yeah, it was still, you know, you got 90 minutes of him. And I think, you know, knock on wood, it feels like he has successfully made it out of what was hurting him earlier in the beginning of the season. Obviously, it's game to game. Nothing's perfect. You never know. But he seems to be playing without discomfort. He seems to be playing as normal. And hopefully we'll continue the season of seeing, you know, a lot of cool moments, and Inter Miami continuing to have a lot of good moments. I'm wondering, I'm guessing next week is going to be his first time going to Vancouver as well.
Yeah, I believe so. I don't think he's made his way.
He didn't go last year. I don't know, but I don't know if maybe in for anything else, but if then that'll be a first too. That place will be rocking as well.
Especially with everything that's going on with them and their team. They're doing really good. They're in a great moment. And I think a game against them is going to be quite the spectacle. Probably the toughest game we're probably going to have so far this season, in this short season. So,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
100%. But yeah, Messi Mania in MLS still alive and well, which is what we love to see, because that's what makes sports fun. So glad to see that turn out. And hopefully we'll see it a few more times this season. But about the game itself. So I think the question that we want to ask is that people have been asking. I know you posted a lot of great tweets about it as it relates to the low block that, you know, MLS teams, especially, I mean, LAFC tried as well, but, you know, mainly we're seeing it in MLS is this low block, the back five, is causing Miami's offense to seem a little bit predictable, a little stale, been getting some draws, not the high-powered offense that we were seeing last year. And, you know, I think the question is, one, is that the case? Is it stale, or is it how Javier Mascherano is trying to coach the game? Is that how the team is trying to play? Are we missing something? You know, I think there's a couple of different ways you can go in that direction, but I think you had some great points that you put out, so I want you to kind of lead us in this.
Yeah, of course. So I think what we're seeing a lot of teams here do is what they do when they face, when they're inferior to the team that they're going to face, right? So they like to play low blocks. They like to play defensive, look for counter, pressure more on their side of the field instead of pressuring all the way up. And that's what teams are doing in Inter Miami. And Inter Miami at times had a lot of issues with that last season. It seemed like they had kind of resolved that this season, but it looks like they're back to square one, where they're just not able to do anything to break that type of game plan from the opponent. And I've, you know, read some of what people are putting on social media and some of their opinions, and they say, all right, well, you know, what is Inter Miami supposed to do when a team plays like that? The reason the offense looks bad is because everybody's, you know, playing a back line of five or a 5-4-1 and just waiting for Inter Miami to attack. Where's the spaces? And what I say to that is, that's what good teams do. That's what great teams do. They have to figure that out. That's not an excuse. If that was how do you think other teams in Europe play Real Madrid? How do they play Barcelona? How do they play Man City? How do they play Arsenal? You know, how do they play PSG? These people sit in the back. and they wait for these teams. They're not going to go out on full attack and leave the spaces behind them to get scored on. They'd be losing 6-0 every game to these big teams in Europe. That's the same thing for Inter Miami. There's not an excuse over there, and it's not an excuse here. Inter Miami has to figure out how to win these games, how to create opportunities. We're talking about two games back-to-back where they've tied a game.
In MLS, not in
MLS, correct. Right, in the league, two games back-to-back where they've tied. Over the last five games, they've scored five goals. They've won the games that they've won. They've won by less than a one goal margin. Go back to last season, we're losing these games because of the defense. Luckily for us, the defense has improved this season, where we're able to not be as convincing on offense and still be able to pull off the win by one goal. But some of these games, Ash, we could have very well lost. Like, we could have lost. You look at this game against Chicago, since it just happened. They had 16 shots, 7 shots on goal versus our 9 shots, 3 on goal. Like, we had possession of the game, and not by a lot. It was 51-49. But Chicago, anytime they had the ball on the counter, it looked like they were going to score. And there were quite a few times where they missed open opportunities. They could have very well won this game, and there have been quite a few games like that. Look, I look at some of these players on this team, and as much as we spoke about this team being a deep team this year, something that we didn't have as much last season, where we're going to have a lot of games, we're going to have player rotation, we're going to keep players fresh. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the offense is going a bit stale, not just because of how opponents are playing, but because of the management of the players. The three players with the most minutes, guess who they are so far this season? Guess, who do you think are the top three players in the most minutes this season? Who would you say?
Noah Allen.
No.
No. Oh, well, Suarez.
Suarez. Okay. You're down the right frame of thinking. Who what other two?
Busquets and Alba.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
The three oldest guys on the team, the ones that are a year older. And then we already had concerns with their age, are the guys that have the most minutes on this team. For a team that was touted as being deeper than last season, how are these guys the guys with the most minutes on the team? And you got guys like Robert Taylor, Gressel, Fafa sitting on the bench. It doesn't make sense to me. Also, you have options to be able to manage games where you have teams that are playing you a certain way that are making it very difficult to find spaces. Teams like Chicago, who decided, hey, this game, we're going to play a low block. We're going to play narrow. We're going to give you the spaces on the side, but we're not letting you do anything down the middle channels of the pitch. Were there any changes that helped that? No. Telasco and Kremaski looked lost. They couldn't do anything. But then you have Robert Taylor, who's fast, who can take at least one guy off of the dribble. It sounds like a basketball play. You have Fafa, that's also touted to be one of our fastest guys. You have Leo Afonso, who we've seen can take people and create. Two of those guys weren't even available. Fafa was only one on the bench, and he didn't see any minutes. And guess what, Ash? Out of those five games that we have not scored more than two goals, where we've had a nil game, Messi scored three. Guess who scored the other two? Robert Taylor and Fafa Bicolt.
Yeah.
Other ones that have helped us in offense, and they were not playing in that game. So to me, there's a mix. I mean, we can do a whole episode on this, really, on what goes wrong with the offense. But to me, it just comes down to resting players to make sure they're fresh and using the personnel in the adequate moments of the game when you need to change up the strategy. When the middle of the pitch is not open, when the channels are being closed effectively by the opponent, and you need something out wide, you've got players that can do it, and you're just not using them.
Well, I agree with you, and I think knowing you're in a semifinal next week of a major tournament, you have to imagine is influencing some of the decision making, knowing that you are going to need Allende and Fafa, for example, and their speed on the wings. You need it in order to win the Champions Cup. I think partially it was rotation, but we weren't seeing
what enough. Was rotation though?
What
was rotation?
The fact that Allende and Fafa didn't play.
Fafa's not a starter.
Well, yeah, but he hurt his hamstring the first 3 weeks of the season. Like, I think they're still trying to be pretty careful with him.
I don't think so. I just think that I think Kremaski right now is one of the favorites to come off the bench. You know how every season a coach has like a favorite, like this is the guy that I'm banking on. Same way Tata had Gressel.
Yeah.
I think Kremaski is the new Gressel in that sense. Kremaski is a guy that Mascherano feels comfortable with, that thinks he's like a stopgap where he's not going to be the best at a certain position, but he's also not going to be the worst. He's a guy he can depend on. And I think that at sometimes could be a detriment to this team because, look, I've only spoken good about Kremaski. I know how much you love Kremaski as well, especially his, you know, the opportunities that he's had with the U.S. men's team. But Kremaski doesn't offer much. I'm sorry. He's a stopgap. Again, he's a place filler. Right now, he's shown flashes of what he can do, especially last season. This season, there's times where I'm like, why is this guy on the pitch? And I'll probably get slack for that. But you cannot be just reactive. You need to be, you know, on top of these things. And when you see players aren't working out, like Kremaski, you cannot be nasty. You cannot be hard-headed. Kremaski is one that shouldn't have been on the pitch as long as he was. Same thing with Telasco. Telasco just wasn't having the best game either.
Telasco's have been having a little bit of a slow spell recently after such a fiery start.
I agree.
I think part of what Mascherano needs to do is figure out what the best rotations look like and how to beat the low block. Like, that's just something he's going to have to figure out. And I think, you know, each match will be a way to get closer to that. This next match for Inter Miami, Saturday versus Columbus, is obviously it's a big game when you think about the overall as a rivalry, and because, you know, you're one versus, you know.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We're at 4th in standings, but you also have, on Thursday, have your first leg of a semifinal. So I think, I don't know if it's going to be necessarily, like, I don't know if it's going to be the best 11 on Saturday.
It shouldn't be.
I don't think it should be, because I think, again, right, like, we're 3 matches away from a trophy. So we'll see. I think this is, though, the subject of figuring out how are we going to get rid of the offense getting less stale. I think it also must be said that Luis Suarez must figure out how to finish these chances.
Yep.
Because we're talking about things much differently. If, let's say, even 10% of the chances that he's had in the last, you know, 5 matches go in, you know, we're the some of the things, they're working, they're getting Suarez in positions to make the shot, make the goal, be that deadly finisher. But he's going early, getting offsides calls, and he's not being clinical. And so part of the strategy itself may be working, but the end product isn't. And so it makes the whole entire team seem like it's not working, right? But that's part of it. Part of the solution needs to be figuring out how do we get more chances and how do we get those to fall in the back of the net.
Yeah, so Suarez is a guy that doesn't look quite the same as he did last season. It's been said he's a notoriously slow starter, but I feel like he did look better last season, yeah, going in, finishing a lot more of these chances that you mentioned. I will be, you know, I do think some of these offsides have definitely been a little questionable, and he's been unlucky with that. You know, with that, even the one against Chicago this last game, I think that is debatable. It didn't look offside to me. He scored, but other than that, yeah, he's had point blank chances where he just doesn't finish. And you need a guy like him where, okay, he's maybe giving you the assists, but he's also your number 9. He's a guy that's supposed to be scoring, not just giving you assists. So at the end of the day, you need him to do better. And maybe it's partly on rest. Yeah, you know, the guy's older. And you have Ale Novando that came in now. He's a new guy, but give him some time. See what he can do. I know we gave him some time last time, but that was his first game ever. I'm not going to judge too much based off of that. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like there aren't too many options up front other than Suarez and now Obando. We'll have to see, but he definitely needs rest. He needs to reset. He needs to clear his mind and get back to his goal-scoring ways, what we saw him do last season. It's really important if this team is going to continue to get past some of these teams. We've seen them go against teams that they have no business tying or only winning by one goal. They should be taking some of these teams and knocking them out of the park. And it's going to be dependent on what some of these guys can do, like Suarez. And he's a professional. At the end of the day, he's one of the best to ever do it in his position. So I have confidence that he's going to get out of this and he'll get back to his goal-scoring ways.
Agreed. I agree. I think it's, I don't think Saturday can be where we say, like, make or break. Like, Mascherano either gets it or not, or, like, the season's derailed. I think there's a lot of context with the semifinals. And that is, obviously the number one priority of the team. It's unfortunate that the game right before is against Columbus, because on any other day, you'd really, want that to be one of your cornerstone matches of the season. I still believe in this team. I still think there's every chance that we could win and we could figure things out and continue to build and rotate and see what works. They have a week off, they have a full week of rest. There's no midweek match. So hopefully, we see something good, but the game, like I said, the excitement off the pitch was probably a little bit better than what was on the pitch. But what it did mean is that, again, Inter Miami remain unbeaten, right? So now let's talk about the season as a whole, because I think we're about, depending on how far we get in other tournaments, this number could be smaller or lower, but we've played 14 matches so far, or 13 matches so far. 13 matches so far. Sorry, I'm just calculating.
Yeah.
across all competitions. Maybe 20, 25% of the season, right? Again, depending on how far we get in other tournaments. Unbeaten. 9 wins, 3 draws, 1 loss. In MLS, unbeaten. We've dealt with a lot of adversity early on as it relates to injuries, as it relates to officiating, as it relates to being behind in matches, as it relates to red cards. We've had a lot to deal with so far. And throughout all of that, one loss in a Champions Cup match that we ended up winning the tie for. So grading the season, how are you feeling? Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Go first and then I'll follow.
Okay, so far, honestly, I'm giving this an A-. Mm-hmm. I think Mascherano has done an exceptional job. And the team overall has done an exceptional job. Time goes by fast. Hindsight is everything. A month ago, we were saying, is Messi going to be able to play for the rest of the season? Is he going to, is he going to have to be held back every other match? He's played in the last 4. He's played in every match since the international break at an incredibly high level, helped with that comeback win last week. That was absolutely sensational. This team has not lost in the MLS regular season yet. They have won 9 matches. And, while there are still things to work out, there are still things to troubleshoot, figuring out how to get past this low block, figuring out how to win instead of maybe draw a couple of those matches, getting more goals scored. You have to say the team is doing all we could hope for in the fact that we're in a semifinal next week. Our goal this season is to win silverware, and we're 3 matches away from winning silverware already in an incredibly difficult tournament where we've had to battle a lot to get there. So my grade so far, A-.
I'm going with a B. I'm going to go with a B so far because I guess for the positives, just mention some of the things that you did with Mascherano. I think you're 100% correct. He's shown that he's up to the job. He's done a great job managing a lot of these games as far as in-game situations. There's obviously work to be done as well, but I think he's done an overall good job when he's faced adversity. He's been able to manage going down a man. He's been able to manage missing players, that sort of thing. So I think that's a great positive. The fact that you have players that adapted very well, new players that have adapted into the team very well, that have come in and made an impact right away. Talk about Telasco, talk about Tadeo Allende, who have been great additions to this team. They've brought in players that they needed other than those two. Also, Fafa Picolt, that I wish we could see a little bit more of, but also a great addition to this team. We're yet to see what how Baltazar pans out for this team, but it seems like also a good addition. Maxi Falcón, which has made a huge difference to this team. And thank you for mentioning that, Ash, because this defense was another thing that also goes in part of getting a good grade, like a B in my case. That defense was a huge issue for us last season, not this season. This season, we're getting clean sheets. This season, we're getting scored on just once during games. We're not getting scored on, you know, as often. I certainly feel a lot safer. The fact that I think Mascherano has had the fortitude to take Aviles out and give that space to Noah, I think is huge, because a lot of people would have said Aviles was the guy on top, the guy that was, you know, better in that spot. And it looks like to me that Mascherano has been right in that sense, that Noah Allen has been playing amazing. He's found his two center backs. He's also been able to manage that right side between Frey and Chelo. I think he's done that very well. So B plus on there. As far as, you know, looking at the results, also we're yet to lose a game, and I think that's really good as well. We're advancing through the Champions Cup, going into a semifinal. I think that's excellent as well. The reason I don't give an A and I go with a B is because, based off of results, right on paper, you probably can think A, but I go to B because of the eye test. I look at this team and I'm not 100% happy with what I'm seeing on the field. I think there are a lot of issues that need to be fixed that are okay. You'll get through you'll get through the first quarter of the league and still look good and go unbeaten, right? You still haven't faced the best teams. You're going to face Columbus now, but unfortunately it's probably not going to be a full squad based off of who they're going to need to wrestle. We're not going to get a full test there. I think that the route through the Champions Cup, the LA obviously was the toughest, but before that, it's kind of been a bit easy. And now is when you get to go against Vancouver in the semifinal, against the final. I'm just a little nervous because of what I've seen on the pitch against going into the toughest rounds of the Champions Cup. Are we going to be able to do it? For me, it's a B from what I see on the field. The management of minutes. We've got three of our oldest guys playing the most minutes. Mascherano has to get better at that and managing that, I think. And then also he has to do better at figuring out games where, as we just spent a good amount of time on, defenses are playing way back and covering us. He's got to kind of figure that part out. The offense has not looked good, and that's why I give it a B. But I'm overall happy with this team, and I think that they can definitely get to an A. They can get to an A fairly soon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's fair. I mean, you know, I said I'm just – giving the benefit of the doubt for now. You know, I agree the eye test has me worried sometimes, but, you know, great teams, greatness in the end figures it out. And so far they have. If that changes, I'll change my outlook, you know? So I'm giving it one thing at a time. I think the way they've battled through adversity, though, has been excellent. You know, like first match of the season, first 10 minutes, you lose Fafa. You lose Messi right in the second match of the season. And then there was all this, will he, won't he, how bad is the injury? Is there an injury, et cetera. Didn't go on international duty since then, has been consistent and looking great, playing with insane passion and excitement. I mean, we're seeing a Messi who is having fun. And I mean, even though, you know, he shows frustration, which I think is good because he cares, but we're seeing him play still at such a high level, and it infects the rest of the squad.
The way he celebrates his goals is, I mean, if there's ever any doubt of the passion or how serious he takes these games, he celebrates these goals like it was a Champions League final. Like, he really gets into it, and that just shows how much he cares and how much he's committed to this team.
the Toronto goal when they level with Toronto before they end the first half last week. I mean, I haven't seen that since the World Cup final, like that expression, you know, like that was in that moment. He just like was fully like there. And the fact that I think the coaching and the culture of the team and the players have created this camaraderie, agreed again, he's letting players who perform well keep their spots. Like you said, Noah Allen, Maxi Falcone, who's been an excellent signing. I think, you know, Redondo, for example, playing more minutes than I expected. I think we all thought it was going to be Brighton, only Brighton. And while Bright has had a couple, you know, setbacks in terms of injuries or whatever, when Redondo plays well, he gets rewarded. And I think that that's how you keep teams being competitive. And that's what we're seeing. So definitely things to improve on. But so far, so good. We have so many exciting matches to come. I mean, next, starting Saturday, we are on, like, let me give you the next four matches, okay? Just so, like, we can get excited, right? So we have Saturday against Columbus, which is, even if we, quote-unquote, aren't putting, you know, that as the main focus, everyone, we're still going to see players show up, and it's still going to be a great match. Then we have the first leg in Vancouver, Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Better than 11:30. We'll take it. then Sunday against Dallas, which is, you know, right now Dallas is performing pretty well. And I mean, it's going to be a difficult game. It's a home game though, which is good. You know, they're in eighth, but still a team that could show up any day. And then second leg, Vancouver at home, Red Bulls right after, which is going to be big in division rivalry, Minnesota, San Jose, Orlando, like we're going boom, boom, boom all the way literally from now until May 31st. We have a game every week, if not two a week. And then hopefully Champions Cup final June 2nd, hopefully. And then from there, Club World Cup starts June 14th. So think about that. The next 6 weeks, we have at least one match a week, some two. We're playing good competition. We're going to hopefully make it to the end of the competition. We're getting the team better and better. And then 2 months from today, 8 weeks, we start the Club World Cup.
So they have 8 weeks to make sure they don't get spanked, because there's some glaring issues that they need to figure out on the offense. So I think that they'll do it. I think they're going to make sure that they figure it out. I think this is the time. I mean, we talk about how early on in the season, sometimes these MLS games don't matter as much, but little by little, that's ramping up. And now you've got to make sure you lock in, you start winning these games. Yeah, I mean, okay, we're unbeaten, but you're talking about three draws. That means you've dropped 6 points. Like, you know, that term unbeaten sounds nice, but at the end of the day, you're dropping points. You're going to want to start winning these, and this team will do it. That's what they were built for. That's what they brought in Mascherano for. That's what they brought in these high quality players for. So I think that they'll get it together and they'll look even better. Defense isn't an issue. It's all about the offense. Let's focus on that. And I think we'll be good.
Agreed. And just really quickly, I mean, you know, our group stage for the FIFA Club World Cup, I mean, Al Ali, I think we could win. Palmeiras, I think will be difficult, but I think we could. There's every chance. Yeah. Porto will be hard. Yeah, I think Porto will be hard. But there's every chance. We have time though. And also think about it. Look, if we knock on wood, make it and win the Champions Cup, if that's what's in our cards, that's June 2nd. Think about the confidence the team will have for going into that tournament 2 weeks later. We're getting ahead of ourselves though, but all exciting stuff, and yeah, we're so far, like I said, first quarter of the season, A- for me, B for you, but very positive, and we have it all to look forward to.
Yeah, excited for what's to come over the next week and a half to 2 weeks with Champions Cup. It's, I think, the most important thing we have this season, other than obviously the Club World Cup, but the most realistic one, the one that's right there. We're able to taste it. And I think this team can do it. So I'm going to be glued to the TV over the next couple of weeks.
And the good news is because of how everything shakes out, if we make it, we host it. So that means the Champions Cup final will be at Chase Stadium.
Oh yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Exciting stuff. All right. Well, for leave your comment. Let us know how you would grade the season so far. I'm curious to see 20-25% in. How is everyone else feeling? Where are the best places we can improve? We always want to know and see how everyone's feeling. So we'll get ready for the match coming up this week. We'll always keep you updated with news on X at Messi & Co. Make sure you're following us. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, 5 Reasons Sports. For this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley, that is Gian, and we will see you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine & Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.